There's a lot of coal under the surface of British Columbia, most of it in the Peace River region and the East Kootenays. But there is a significant amount on Vancouver Island, and Compliance Energy Corporation wants to mine it. Residents of the Comox Valley are concerned about plans to develop three mines in their area. The first would be the Raven coal mine. It's currently in the comment period of the provincial environmental assessment process. Ben West is Healthy Communities campaigner with the Wilderness Committee, and he joins me by phone this morning to discuss some of the potential environmental impacts of the project. Hello, Ben.
Good morning.
Now, what kind of mine is Compliance Energy wanting to develop there?
Well, it would be an underground coal mine, which means that basically, unlike, sort of the good old days with the pickaxes and shovels, they basically bore a hole with a large machine. Kind of looks similar to the thing that was used to build the Canada Line in Vancouver, one of these large underground boring machines. And that would actually be a sort of similar technology that would be used to actually extract most of the coal from underground.
And how big would it be?
Well, it covers about 200 hectares, the sort of actual footprint, but most of the mine itself would be underground. So most of what you would actually see in the sort of mine site would be the pile of waste rock, the pile of coal that is being cleaned, and then, of course, the huge number of 16-wheelers moving the stuff in and out all the time.
And I understand it just has a lifespan of just over 15 years.
Yeah, it's actually not a particularly big mine, but the impact would be massive for the surrounding area. Of course, a lot of people around there rely on wells for their water, and it's also a very important shell fishery. Most people, when they think of Fanny Bay, they think of the Fanny Bay oyster. So just these sort of immediate impacts on people's groundwater and on a very important shell fishery are sort of the top of mind issues for a lot of people in that area.
I want to get back to the pollution issues in a moment, but first of all, I want to ask you, what's going to happen to the coal after it's mined? I understand it's going to China.
Well, to Asia, generally. The major investment company that put up a lot of the cash is actually Korean. And currently, a lot of the coal that's coming from BC is actually going to Japan, although there's a tremendous amount of demand, of course, from China. So, I mean, basically, it'll go on the open market with the intent of being shipped to Asia. The coal would be trucked about three or four trucks an hour, 24 hours a day, from the Comox Valley, right through the middle of the island, out past Tofino, up to Port Alberni. So we're talking about a tremendous amount of traffic on already quite a congested corridor, through some important wilderness area, of course, and on its way out to Port Alberni, and folks in Port Alberni are quite concerned about this as well.
And what's it going to be used for once it gets to Asia?
Well, that's an issue of some debate. The company Compliance says that it primarily would be metallurgical coal. There's been some independent assessments done that show that it's not high enough quality coal to be metallurgical coal. For any of your listeners who aren't sort of familiar with the sort of different uses of coal, basically there's coal that's kind of higher grade, which has got a higher carbon content, which is used for making steel. And then there's the sort of lower quality coal, which is used for making electricity. And of course, if you're concerned about climate change, all coal is bad coal. The Compliance Energy Company claims that this is going to be primarily metallurgical coal, which makes sense for them for a couple of reasons. It's easier to make an argument against thermal coal than it is against metallurgical coal because, obviously we still need steel. And, as easy as it is to say that we can replace coal for energy production with other forms of energy production, we still have some work to do to be able to really fully get off coal for making steel. Now, that being said, we drastically need to reduce the use of coal for any application, if we're serious about climate change.
How much of the material that they dig out of the ground is actually going to be usable, and how much is going to be left behind?
Also a point of some contention. The one of the major problems with this mine is that there would be a tremendous amount of waste rock. And I might be mistaken, but I think it's somewhere, approaching, in some people's estimates, even 50% of what would be pulled out of the ground. I think the company is saying numbers that are much smaller. But it is a point of some debate. And part of the question is, what quality of coal are they really pulling out determines, how much of even some of the coal that's in the ground they would even want to use. Because you know, if they're not planning on exporting it for thermal use, then you know, there's some questions about sort of how the sorting and that sort of thing goes on. But the disposal of the waste rock is a huge big concern. I mean, with any mine, you've got a tremendous amount of waste rock that needs to be dealt with. You know, and usually it results in some sort of you know, a slag heap or you know, a river somewhere that's turned into a you know, a disposal site. And that's basically what's being proposed here is either that the coal just sit out in a big pile basically and just kind of be washed down, or that it actually be dumped into a local lake system, which you know, they say, well, don't worry, it might impact some fish here, but we'll do some restoration work on another local river system, and then away you go.
So the one of the major environmental concerns then is pollution of the water supply.
Yes, absolutely, both from the mining operation itself and also for the waste rock disposal.
Now, you mentioned the fish and shellfish. What are people concerned that the impact will be on the local fishery?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The local shell fishery, the owner, not a traditional environmentalist, in fact, is, you know, somebody who's kind of self-described as very pro-business and, you know, has said openly that this is the first project in their history that they've ever actually opposed, the first development project of any kind. You know, I was at a meeting on Denman Island maybe a couple of years ago now, a year and a half ago, where, you know, the first person to come up and speak after the presentations were done was a local shellfish, a guy who worked in the industry. And he came out, you know, in gumboots and, you know, and literally pulled, you know, several hundred dollars out of his pocket and threw it down on the table and said, you know, this is my future, this is my family's future that's on the line. You know, I'm giving you everything that I've got in my pockets to try to put towards this fight. And I think that kind of sums up where folks in the shellfish industry are coming from. You know, one of the things that the local group Coal Watch Comox Valley has done is they've actually brought some oysters that were grown, you know, close to a slag heap, you know, for the mine that's further up north on the island, Quinsam Mine. And they've sort of highlighted the differences between those oysters and the ones from Fanny Bay. And, you know, just try to sort of highlight what, you know, these toxins can do to these shellfish. Of course, the company says that there won't be any impacts, but the industry is not convinced, and both the workers and the owners are quite concerned that this could literally shut down the shell fishery. You know, even with all the sort of claims of the industry, you know, if you're a connoisseur of oysters, even just the idea that the oyster might be polluted will drastically reduce its value, and you know, let alone the potential very real impacts to whether these things are even edible. But you know, it's a kind of connoisseur type food for many people, and you know, even to just imagine that there'd be a major source of pollution close by is a real source of concern for folks who love their oysters.
I understand that there've been some pretty packed public meetings over on the island with the vast majority of people speaking in opposition to the mine.
Yeah, so the public consultation process, the provincial component of it, happened in the last couple of weeks, and there was three major public hearings, all of which were packed to capacity. In fact, the last one that was in the Union Bay area, right around where the mine is proposed, had the fire marshal come out and limit access to the meetings. All in total, I think we estimated something like 1,500 people attended. And at least one of them was live streamed to the internet. And, you know, if you watched that, like I did, you could see that there wasn't a single person who came to the microphone who was actually in support of the mine. It was just sort of, you know, one perspective after another about why, you know, that this was a bad idea.
What's the record of the Provincial Environmental Assessment Office on approving new mines?
Well, there's only been one project in the history of the environmental assessment process that's ever actually been turned down. The Environmental Assessment Office, by and large, basically serves to sort of look at how harm can be reduced. You know, I unfortunately, the environmental assessment process, I think, is quite flawed. It, you know, it claims to look at cumulative impacts, although I'm not so sure that that's really the case in many of these projects that are proposed. And it doesn't even look at things like climate change, believe it or not. You know, most people would believe, given that we're the province with the carbon tax and, you know, with the climate action plan and, you know, a commitment to not burn fossil fuels here at home, that we don't even take into consideration climate change when doing environmental assessments. So, I mean, there is some value to the environmental assessment process because it gives you an opportunity to sort of highlight opposition and to sort of focus attention on the, on a project. And more often than not, when a project's canceled during an environmental assessment, it's because the proponent walks away from the table. Or, you know, there's so many conditions placed on the project that it just becomes cost prohibitive for the company to go forward. So sometimes, even though, you know, the environmental assessment agency doesn't flat out reject a project, they do put enough conditions on it that it's, you know, virtually impossible for the proponent to go forward. But by and large, I would say it's a broken process. And the fact that, you know, we're hearing so much noise from Stephen Harper and Christy Clark about actually, you know, reducing environmental assessments is just kind of crazy talk, given that it's already a broken process.
Where are we at in the environmental process right now?
Well, people have until June 27th to submit letters to the environmental assessment process. You can actually do that right through our website at wildernesscommittee.org/coal in the sort of take action section on our coal page. There's actually a letter writing tool that you can use that kind of gives you all the key points to consider, and then you can write your own letter and send it off, and it goes to you know, to the environmental assessment process, and also you know, politicians, so it gets CC'd to a couple different places.
Now, you're also asking people to come out to Compliance Energy's annual general meeting. Why are you asking people to do that?
Well, it's really just another opportunity to draw attention to what's going on, to build awareness. You know, given that this is their annual general meeting and their shareholders are all going to be there, it's an opportunity to, you know, communicate directly to them, you know, that we are quite concerned about this project, that this isn't a good investment, that, you know, you're not going to be making a whole bunch of money off a project if it doesn't go forward, and the opposition is so strong that, you know, that perhaps this is really not a good investment to make. It also just happens to be very conveniently located, just blocks away from our office, and to think that they'd be having that meeting and we wouldn't go over there and you know, at least try to engage in a dialogue with folks as they come by and with folks on the street to sort of let them know what's going on. I mean, we're just not going to let that happen right under our nose. So, you know, we decided that this was an important sort of moment. It's conveniently, you know, right at the same time that the project's being considered under the environmental assessment process. So it, you know, it's kind of nice of them to plan it actually so close to us and, you know, right at this moment. You know, because we have been looking for ways to remind people that it isn't just an issue for folks in the Comox Valley. As much as the impacts, sort of the immediate impacts, will definitely be felt in the Comox Valley, you know, so many of us are concerned about, you know, environmental issues generally, but climate change even more specifically. And, you know, and this project is just clearly a big step in the wrong direction if you're worried about climate change.
And I guess if the way that the process goes is that most projects are approved, albeit with a number of conditions, but companies decide to pull out, then putting pressure on the company is a logical thing to do.
Yeah, and I mean the AGMs are a moment where, you know, the company really isn't just the board of directors and the CEO. You know, the company is, in fact, its shareholders. Now, we're not expecting some large shareholder action, but I think, you know, it is really important for folks who are actually investing their money in this company to understand what it is they're investing in. And I think what they're hearing from the company is only, a sort of a fraction of the story. You know, they're not really getting the local perspective. They're not getting the sort of big picture perspective. And, you know, we want to make sure that those folks really hear, you know, what's proposed and are worried about their investment, because they should be.
So that's next Wednesday, is it, downtown?
Yeah, that's right. Next Wednesday, outside Compliance Energy. And once again, you can find information about that on our website at wildernesscommittee.org/coal.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ben West. He's Healthy Communities Campaigner with the Wilderness Committee. You can find out more about the Raven Coal Mine at coalwatch.ca. And if you'd like to send a letter to the Environmental Assessment Office, you can find a link on the Coal Watch site, or, as Ben mentioned, through the Wilderness Committee at wildernesscommittee.org. And right now, the link to the form and some suggested points you can make is on their homepage, wildernesscommittee.org.